There is an ancient book that remains a mystery to most of the Earth's inhabitants. It tells us why we are here, reveals the mysteries of heaven and the horrors of hell, and the hero is God himself in our Lord Jesus Christ. Learn of the Ancient of Days by listening to Bible Believers Fellowship, Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. on 91.5 Freedom FM.
Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of KJV, BibleBelievers.com, and part 3 of our special study of Ezekiel 38 and the Gog-Magog War. This is a four-part series covering the entire chapter, and we are identifying the players in this end-time drama that is now playing out before our eyes as the stage is being set for a massive showdown involving Russia, the Islamic nations surrounding Russia, and the nations of Iran, Iraq, Ethiopia, Libya, and others who will join together in an effort to defeat Israel. We will be featuring all four parts of this series, along with past and future studies related to this subject, on a page designated under the name Gog and Magog in the video pages menu. So be sure to look for that page of links on our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com. And now we join part 3 of 4 as we continue our study, the Gog-Magog War in Ezekiel 38 of our King James Bible.
Sadly, what's going on in the world today basically catches most Christians off guard, because when they go to Bible study or church, they learn how, you know, not to punch Susie in the nose when she says something mean, and how to be nice to everybody, and what God wants for you and all that. And there's a place for that. But that's all they're ever hearing. It's a man-centered religion today. Christianity, true Christianity, is a God-centered religion. If you go to church and all they talk about is you, you should get worried. Of our studying the Word of God on Sunday is to make you a Bible student, to enable you to understand the Bible, but it is also to enable you to understand what's going on in the world around you. And so when you turn on the news at night and there's something going on, like a blizzard up in the northeast of the United States, it might not just be the freak of nature. You might find, well, I think what you might find out is that behind the scenes, the European Union is pushing a peace treaty on Israel, and the United States and the U.S. State Department is also behind the scenes pushing the same thing. You see? Now, if you understand what God's Word says about those who try to divide the land of Israel, and you see things like that happening, you start to put two and two together. And we always advertise a book called As America Has Done to Israel by John McTernan, as a book that lays it all out over the last couple of decades, actually going back further than that, showing that major disasters in America are connected directly to the United States government going against Israel. And by the way, on our website, if you go on the internet, we put a new article up. How many of you heard people talk about the USS Liberty attack? Have you heard of that? And they claim that Israel just attacked the United States of America for no reason. And the reason why we haven't heard much about it is because, of course, the Jews control the media. You know, that's the story. But there's a whole story behind that the United States of America was actually helping the Arabs in the 1967 Six-Day War. And Israel had no choice to disable the USS Liberty in order to protect themselves from being destroyed. And they could have sank it and killed everybody, and they didn't. Yep. So we got an article on the website. Because one of the reasons we teach here, you know, to teach everybody here, but there are people who can't make it. And then there are also literally thousands of people who listen on the radio, another set of thousands of people listen on the internet or watching the video on the internet. And these messages, all messages from the Bible are important, but these messages are very pertinent to where we're living right now in February of what year is it? 2013. I knew. I'm just kidding. 2012. All right. I can't keep up. That's when you know you're getting old, when you can't keep up. So we're seeing this prophesied Gog-Magog war is what we studied beginning last week. We're not going to review the whole message, but I want to give you a bird's eye of what we talked about last week. You study, you read the first 16 verses of Ezekiel 38. You see, we identified the nations that are mentioned in this war. Gog is Russia. Magog, referred to as the Islamic Stan nations. And I mix that up because it's not exact. And we'll talk more about this later on. But Meshach is identified with eastern Turkey. Tubal is northeast Turkey. Persia actually encompasses modern-day Iran and Iraq. Ethiopia back takes up more than just today's Ethiopia, but the whole eastern continent of Africa. Then Libya is basically the Horn of Africa. Gomer is north Turkey and actually up into Europe. Gomer's bands would be west Turkey and up into Europe. And then you have Togarma, which is identified with modern Afghanistan. Togarma's bands would be some of the other Islamic Stan nations. And that this map lays that out. But I want to show you, it's not a contradiction, it's just additional information that lends to understanding who these nations are referring to. And the word Magog, this is a quote from J. Vernon McGee, and I'm not going to get bogged down on this, and I didn't want to get bogged down last week, so I saved it for this week to share this. But we want to just lay this out, just and move on. But J. Vernon McGee is, quote, he says, Magog means head. It is the Hebrew word Rosh, which means head. A fellow named Dean Stanley, in his exhaustive work called History of the Eastern Church, has noted, or has a note founded on Jacinius, who is considered a great Hebrew scholar, to the effect that the word Rosh should be Russia. So the Hebrew word Rosh, in 1611, they translated that Magog, and it's not an error. But it is understood that it is the same as the word that was understood, is understood today to be Russia, Rosh. And he continues, and he says, Bishop Lowther, you don't need to know who these guys are, but he made a statement that Rosh, taken as a proper name in Ezekiel, signified the inhabitants of Scythia, the Scythians. And that's from whom the modern Russians derive their name. He, and I wish I could do a better J. Vernon McGee imitation. He goes, you see, Russia was first called Muscovy, derived from Meshach. And then he says, that's not bad. He continues, he says, Ivan the Fourth, a czar of Russia, was called Ivan the Terrible. And he came to the Muscovite throne in 1533. And he said, McGee ends his quote by saying, I am sure you detect that the name Meshach and Tubal certainly sound like Moscow and Tobolsk, which is way over in Siberia. Now, you can't always make a name association, but a lot of times you can. And there's a reason why one word sounds like another a lot of times. And then a lot of times you go back, my name is Miller. You go back far enough in my lineage, you'll find Mueller's. The word Mueller became Miller. And I'm sure a lot of you have the same. The Smiths, you might have one time been known as Blacksmiths. Or Schmidt is another one. And so I don't want anybody to start shouting out your names and everything, but you know, you get the idea. So a few more examples there is Togarma's bands are also some of the Islamic Stan nations. And in case you don't know what I mean, you ever heard of, like Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Afghanistan, all those with the word Stan on the end, they're Muslim. You just learned a huge lesson in geography. You're welcome. I mean, you don't even have to, you can really show off with that, you know what I mean? These nations right here are all Islamic. And like, wow, this guy knows his stuff. Well, Sheba and Dedan were used to be known as just Arabia. And now we know a huge chunk of that area is known as Saudi Arabia because of the Saudis, who are Arabs, who control it. Tarshish is identified. A lot of people will say this is identified with Spain. The reason I put Central and South Europe is because Spain used to be much bigger than it is today. And that's what you have to understand is, like, Iran was once known as Persia. But you go back to Ezekiel's day, Persia covered a whole lot more territory than Iran does today. So you have to take it, all that information. And then there was a reference to Tarshish young lions, and I believe that was the newer European nations that in Ezekiel's day were just being founded and settled in that area. So we saw that in verse 2, this war is God going against Gog, the land of Magog, which we know includes Russia and all these other Stan nations and all that. We call it an Islamic confederacy. He says he's going to put a hook into thy jaws and bring them down onto or against the mountains of Israel. So basically you understand now the whole gist of this war that's going to go on. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody today, but I'm saying that some of you may be a little clueless about why this is important if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the world. But there is a nation called Syria, and I'll get up and show you this over here. In a modern map, this area here is Israel. Over here is Syria. Over here is Jordan. North is Lebanon. This is Egypt. Saudi Arabia is down in here. Iran and then Iraq. Up here is the Stan countries. Well, Syria is in the midst of a huge civil war. They're finding thousands of people butchered, just shot down like you'd see those pictures in Nazi Germany, where they took Jews out. Without, it's actually Muslim factions against each other. And because the Russians have aligned themselves with the leader named Assad, they have said that if anybody moves in against him, they would respond. Well, if that happens, then America has said that if anybody comes against Israel, they will respond. Well, if Israel comes against Syria, then you would have Russia coming against Israel and Syria, and America coming in. See all that? Well, because of our present administration, I don't believe Israel should count on America. But what you do have is an alignment of nations today, 2013, February, today, in the news, if you turn it on, you will see that there is already a confederacy of nations threatening to come down on Israel right now. It'll change your lives. There will be, if America gets involved in this, there will be a draft. If America doesn't get involved in this, there will be an economic collapse. Do you understand what I just said? It doesn't matter which side or where we find ourselves on it. You're either going to see hundreds of thousands of Americans go over and die for this, or you're going to see an economic collapse. It's going to change your life. Now, if that happens before the rapture, it's going to change your life. We don't know for sure if this happens before or right after the rapture. And I've studied, I've read, and I can't tell you that I land on either side of that question. There's where we're going to have to live by faith. Walking by faith and not by sight. Amen? And while that goes on, when this Russian Confederation and the Islamics come down, the UN Security Council will just verbally protest. We saw that in our last study. They'll sit back and observe. And that's what's happened every time Israel's been attacked by all the Arabs before. They just sat back. I don't know if you knew this, but the Yom Kippur War, Richard Nixon was president, and Henry Kissinger was the man who was the communication envoy to Israel. When the war broke out, Israel needed simply some logistic support and some armaments. They didn't need our troops. Henry Kissinger went to New York, hid in a hotel so that they couldn't reach him. He's a Jew, folks. So was Judas. And Henry Kissinger hid in the hotel hoping Israel would get wiped out. It'd be the final solution. We'd be done with this whole Jewish problem. And it was a Jew. Hey, George Soros is a Jew. There's all kinds of Judas Iscariots wearing Jewish skin today. Well, the Israeli Prime Minister, oh, I'm going to forget her name, the lady, Meir, Golda Meir. Thank you, Mark. Golda Meir said, I'm not waiting on this two-faced traitor Jew to call me. She called Richard Nixon directly. And she said, Mr. President, if you don't help us, we're done. Richard Nixon was raised by a good Quaker mother. And he said he remembered sitting on his mother's lap. And one day his mother, looking at him when he's a little boy, and said, Dickie, that was his name, Dickie, one of these days you're going to be in a position to help the Jews. And when that day comes, you'll know it. And you'll do what's right. And he said when he got that call from Golda Meir, he knew this was the moment. And he sent what they needed, and Israel was able to overcome that attack in Yom Kippur War. But all America did diplomatically was this.
Yep.
And that's all they're going to do when this whole Gog-Magog thing kicks in. So we left off here. So I want you to start by reading that with me. Verse 16 of Ezekiel 38. Read it with me. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Too many Christians are ignorant, and they don't know that that is not Palestinian land, it's not UN land, it is God's land. And in this verse, and many, 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 many other verses, God says, it's my land, and I've given it to the sons of Jacob. And because too many Americans are ignorant of that, they're bringing our nation to the brink of destruction with their ignorance. And they're cursing Israel, and God said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. They're bringing a curse on this nation with their ignorance. The land does not belong to the Palestinians or to the United Nations, and here's a couple of examples. And don't turn there, but you can jot this down, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just remember, Deuteronomy 11, 11 and 12. But the land, whither ye go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. You want to be like Jesus? You know, all these churches are saying, I want to be like Jesus. Well, here, love that land. God cares for that land. It says, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. It says, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Think of that. From the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. 365 and a quarter. God's eyes are on that land and He cares for it. Now, Jeremiah 16, 14 and 15 says, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But, here's what will be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither He had driven them. See, this is a prophecy of today. When they were taken captive from Babylon, they went to Babylon. But when they were driven from the land in 70 AD, they went all over the world. Millions were up in the north in Russia. So this is talking about the second, the end times, the regathering at the end of the age that we're seeing today. And he says, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. It's God's land He gave it to the Jews, and even when they were scattered around the world, He said it is their land. And He's bringing them back into their land that God gave unto their fathers. Now, you better get that straight, because almost every news broadcast, every documentary, and most of the secular books that you'll ever read on this will tell you it's not Israel's land. They will tell you Israel stole the land from the Palestinians. And the Palestinians are occupied. And the land is occupied territory. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's God's land and He gave it to Israel. Look at what it says then in verse 18 of Jeremiah 16. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. See that? You wonder why the Inquisitions, the Crusades, the Muslims destroying Israel, the Holocaust, all those things? He said in the last days, in the verses we just read, He's going to bring them back in the land. But look what He said. First, I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled My land. That land belongs to God. Israel defiled it. Then they rejected their Messiah and shed His blood on that land. That blood from the rejected Messiah hit the ground. And that's what 2,000 years has brought to the Jewish people, judgment. He says, they have filled Mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. There was all kinds of ungodly things going on all over the nation of Israel, including in the temple. And they rejected their Messiah to boot. So that tells you why this whole thing about land. Can you believe that? How many of you realize that your God, if you're a Christian, your God is going to destroy His enemies over real estate? Amen. You think trespassing on land here in Ohio, where it says beware of the dog or something like that? These people are trespassing on God's land, and He's going to wipe them out. Now, if that ain't your God, you are lost. Look at that. If you reject this God that we're talking about this morning, you're going to hell. Amen. Amen. We got a lot of professing Christians today going to hell. You say, what's this got to do with God? Listen, if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are trusting your eternal soul in the hands of a Jew. That Jew is named Jesus Christ. And if you attack the Jews, you are attacking the blood brothers of Jesus Christ. Don't sing your fruity little songs you sing today and then go attack the Jews. If you love Jesus, it'll show itself because you'll love the Jews. The Spirit of God Almighty in you will cause you to love His people. And one of the telltale signs of a false professing Christian today is someone who attacks Israel and the Jews. And God's going to deal with them.
That concludes part 3 of our 4-part study of Ezekiel 38 and the Gog-Magog War. These messages can be found as MP3 audio or streaming video files on our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can download and listen anytime, absolutely free of charge. If you would like to write to us, we can be reached by addressing your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That address again is P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. We would like to thank those of you who support this ministry financially and with your prayers, as well as telling others about this program and our website by word of mouth. We have no advertising budget, but the number of listeners from more than 100 different countries continues to grow. The week of this program being uploaded, we heard from listeners in Mexico, California, Alabama, England, Australia, and several other nations, as well as several other U.S. states. We praise God for each soul ministered to by our Bible teaching broadcast, and on behalf of the Bible Believers Fellowship family, I am Pastor Greg, and we thank you for listening.
That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to read that with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that just means unless you just flippantly said, oh yeah, I believe. There have been many people have a preacher come to their door, knock on the door, and say, oh, say the sinner's prayer, and oh, okay, well, I'll pray, blah, blah, blah. And they don't mean it. Listen, folks, you know your heart. I don't. You know your mind. I don't. And no one else does. But if you have not been serious with God and really believe the gospel, you're on your way to hell. You have purposely put a wall of separation between you and God, because you've not taken this seriously. But if you will take it seriously and really search your heart and say, I believe this gospel. And what is the gospel? Read verses 3 and 4 with me. Here it is. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's it. You seriously, before God, believe that He died for your sins and paid the full price. He rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. And by that alone, you have eternal life. The Bible says you are saved. But if not, then not. That's how simple it is. You know, religion stinks. Because religion muddies the waters. Religion makes you think that church membership or having a title or something like that is going to help you in dealing with your sin. Let me tell you something. You sinned against God, not the religious people, not the institutions who are giving you all these false promises. You sinned against God, and what He says matters. And if you sinned against God, He is infinite. Your sin requires an infinite payment. That's why you can't work for it. You can work your entire life and do the best you can, and it's still finite. You can never do enough works to pay for the cost of sin. And Jesus dying on the cross was an infinite payment for your sin. And that's why He's your only hope.